हरे कृष्ण
जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी शोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा राम राम हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
पावन हरि नाम संकीर्तन की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की श्रील प्रभुपाद की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की हिताय गौर प्रेमानंद ओम अज्ञान तिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकया चक्षुर्वन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवम् श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्विताश्च नमावों विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यनाम्ने गौरत्विषे नमः हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानो सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। So, it's not written here, I think. We are reading from the fourth canto, 31st chapter, text number 7. You all can take in your mobile, I think. Tanna pradyota yadhyatma ज्ञानं तत्त्वार्थदर्शनं येनाञ्जसा तरिष्यामो दुस्तरं भवसागरं। 4.31.7 तन्नः प्रद्योतयाध्यात्म ज्ञानं तत्त्वार्थदर्शनं येनाञ्जसा तरिष्यामो दुस्तरं भवसागरं। तन्न प्रद्योतयाध्यात्म ज्ञानं तत्त्वार्थदर्शनं येनाञ्जसा तरिष्यामो दुस्तरं भवसागरं। तन्न प्रद्योत्म आत्मात्म ज्ञानं तत्त्वार्थदर्शनं येनाञ्जसा तरिष्यामो दुस्तरं भवसागरं। तत् therefore नः for us प्रद्योतया kindly awaken अध्यात्मा transcendental ज्ञानं knowledge, tattva, absolute truth, artha, for the purpose of, darshanam, philosophy, yena, by which, anjasa, easily, tarishyamaha, we can cross over, dustaram, formidable, bhavasagaram, the ocean of nescience, ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ అండ్ పర్పోర్ట్ బై హిస్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ ఎస్ భక్తివేదాంత స్వామి ప్రభుపాద్. శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్కి, డియర్ మాస్టర్, కైండ్లీ ఎన్లైటన్ అస్ ఇన్ ద ట్రాన్సెండెంటల్ నాలెడ్జ్ విచ్ మే యాక్ట్ అస్ ఎ టార్చ్ లైట్ బై విచ్ వీ మే క్రాస్ ద డార్క్ నెషియన్స్ ఆఫ్ మెటీరియల్ ఎగ్జిస్టెన్స్. పర్పోర్ట్, ద ప్రచేత హస్ రిక్వెస్టెడ్ నారద టు ఎన్లైటన్ దెమ్ ఇన్ ట్రాన్సెండెంటల్ నాలెడ్జ్. Generally, when a common man meets a saintly person, he wishes to get some material benediction. However, the Prachitas were not interested in material benefit, for they had enjoyed all this sufficiently. Nor did they want the fulfillment of their material desires. They were simply interested in crossing the ocean of nations. Everyone should be interested in getting out of these material clutches. Everyone should approach a saintly person in order to be enlightened in this connection. One should not bother a saintly person to get blessings for material enjoyment. Generally, householders receive saintly persons to get their blessings. But their real aim is to become happy in the material world. Asking such material benediction is not recommended in the Shastras. So we are reading from the chapter Narada instructs the Prachetas. It is a very commonly observed phenomenon in this world to approach a saintly person for such material benedictions. Like Prabhupada talks about those 3-4 elderly gentlemen who approached him once in a train. But the disciples were not letting those elderly gentlemen meet Prabhupada, thinking that these people will come and waste time of Prabhupada for Ashirvada. But because they insisted repeatedly, and Prabhupada told the disciples, let them come in. So when they came in, they met Prabhupada and offered obeisances and begged for blessings. And Prabhupada asked, what blessings do you want? This is the first time they saw a saintly person asking for what blessings? So, because they thought it is understood and implied that when you go to a saintly person, you get something which will enhance your material life. So, then they were saying that, Swamiji, our knees are paining. It will be nice if we can repair the, if we can get cured of that. And also give blessings for the family members. So, and Prabhupada said, oh, you want my blessing? This is my blessing. And then he showed the devotees. The devotees are all actually full-time devotees and they have dedicated their lives completely. Prabhupada would often show His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj and other disciples also. Prabhupada said, see these devotees, they are not working for Maya, they are working for Krishna. They are not doing karma, they are doing dharma. So like the Prabhupada showed them. So they were shocked by that. They said, Swamiji, we are not yet ready. There are so many things we have to do. And they really got frightened that Swamiji is a very exalted personality. Even by slip of the tongue, if he tells us that you give up everything and come, what would happen to us? So they immediately slipped out from that place, offering profuse apologies and obeisances and everything, they ran away. So, here the Prachetas are a very special type of audience, because what is the material enjoyment that they did not have? These people are kings of the world. And prior to entering married life, they have even performed severe penances in the forest, 10,000 years under the water. They have had darshan of Lord Vishnu personally. And after that, they had Lord Shiva as their spiritual master. And they got married and then they got a child. And now they have finished their, and they ruled the world for a long period of time, thousands of years. And now they are actually planning to retire and take to Krishna consciousness more seriously. In one of the verses we read a few verses before, the Prachetas felt that in the course of ruling the world, we have become slack in our spiritual practices. So, it is something very worthy for us to think about. Somebody who has performed penances underwater for 10,000 years, he must be a sufficiently serious person for purifying his consciousness and controlling his fickle mind and impure senses. But after that, they entered into worldly life, and so the nature of the material world is entangling. Like you hear about Priyavrat Maharaj, he was already a renunciate, and but on the order of great personalities like Brahma and Swayambhava Manu and his own Guru Narada, finally he relented to accept the responsibility of family life. But then Priyavrat Maharaj, down the line, it is mentioned that he became carried away by two things. One thing was his wife was Barhishmati, who was extremely beautiful. So he got carried away by family pleasures. And also he had undertaken some projects to do some extraordinary work in this world. There is even one verse which glorifies Priyavrat Maharaja's superhuman activities. Naivam vidha purushakara urakramasya pumsantadangri rajasadhita shadgunanam chitram vidura vigataha sakradadadita yannamadheya maduna sajahati bandham. This verse talks about Priyavrat's extraordinary activities of taking the wheel of his chariot and with the rim making 7 varshas. So, sun was only, the sun was moving in a certain direction, and he wanted to give light to the entire world, so he divided the 7 varshas. So, when you hear his activities, they are almost like activities of the Supreme Lord only. So, but in the course of doing great Chaivaltras activities, and in the course of putting up the family and enjoying family pleasures, he suddenly, one day he woke up and he said, "Alas, I have become like a dancing dog in the hands of Maya. Now I have forgotten the ultimate goal of life." So like that he lamented and he woke up. But one good thing for Priyavrat was he had followed the order of his guru Brahma, order of his superior Brahma, due to which that awakening came, that remorse came, repentance came, and immediately he could return back to spiritual life with utmost seriousness and attain perfection in life. So, Prachetas also have been performing their worldly duties for a pretty long period of time, and now they are feeling that, now let us work for crossing over this nescience. So, Prabhupada explains that you will see as soon as even a couple of birds, two birds come together and one bird becomes pregnant now, then immediately the male bird starts searching for some hay and then putting up a nest somewhere in order to prepare a comfortable place so that they can stay in a house. He has to make a house and then she will lay the eggs. Then the male bird has to protect the eggs from owls and other type of dangerous creatures and all. He has to protect the eggs. Then when the eggs are hatched, small babies come. Then the male has to go out and fetch some food and bring. On one hand, he has to protect the wife and children birds. On the other hand, he has to bring food for feeding the birds. So Prabhupada says, this is the culture in any kind of living being, whether it be a dog or whether it be a bird and whether it be animal. He says that the material world is created in such a way, either serve or starve, Prabhupada says. Like, everybody in the material world is serving out of force, and they are serving in this world because they have to earn their daily bread. Can anybody going to office say that I have fallen in love with my boss, therefore I am going to office? Everybody goes to company, office, some business enterprise to do some work because they have to make some money. And that money is mainly directed in this direction, which I told you. Then Prabhupada explains that when one needs a bodily comfort, how is a bodily comfort achieved on a material platform? By having a mate and having some mundane affection for friendship, society and love. So these two things Prabhupada says. That means if one has a partner to share one's joys and sorrows, and also when one has a society of relatives and friends, that gives a sense of material security for a person. And in order to maintain this enterprise, he has to earn. He has to earn money, he has to put up a house, he has to bring the commodities. And that is the way the world is created. So, in the course of doing this, all the creatures have increasing anxieties, increasing fears, increasing hankerings. Like he says, hankering for more wealth. There is anxiety for the safety and security of the relatives and friends. And also fear of varieties of dangers all around. So in this way, the shoka, moha, bhaya engulf every living entity in this world. And lamentation for what one could not accomplish. And illusion that this is my shelter. And fear that anything can happen at any time in this world. When you are alone, you have to protect only yourself. And when you have some very near and dear ones, they are extensions of our body. So then we have to protect all of them also. Then the fears are multiplied by as many number of people you are affectionate to. That much the anxieties are multiplied by that. So, and material world is characterized by anxieties and fears. Correct, no? So, although one may not want to serve and work hard and bring money and all these things, this becomes like a dire necessity. So, if one takes to spiritual life, so spiritual life is characterized by regulated lifestyle, a particular type of discipline. The spiritual life is oriented towards cleansing the heart, like kamasyana indriya pritir labho jivete yavata jivasya tattva jignyasa. So this is one of the favorite verses of Prabhupada. Two verses Prabhupada said, this one and the other one is dharmasya hi apavargasya nartor tayopakalpate nartasya dharmaikantasya kamo labaye hismritaha. Those two verses. So the first verse says, kamasyana indriya pritir. If one does not engage one's senses for sense gratification, rather one engages one's senses in jivasya tattva jignyasa, in inquiring about the absolute truth, so then one will start experiencing freedom right from that point onwards. Because if one is leading life for sense gratification, eventually he is likely to break the regulative principles. So Prabhupada says, when one breaks the regulative principles for the sake of comfort, then that makes him very slack in life. One example Prabhupada gives, I was recently reading in Second Chance, Prabhupada's purport on Ajamila. So Prabhupada says in Ajamila section that as soon as one breaks the regulative principles, then slackness sets in. And when slackness comes, the nature of breaking the regulative principles is that then one becomes characterless. For example, one who follows the four regulative principles, he gets characteristics like truthfulness, self-control, austerity, discipline, and alignment with the Vedic scriptures and getting Shastra Chakshu. These type of things. But the moment one breaks the regulative principles, then opposite qualities come. From truthfulness, one gets falsehood. One speaks lies. One cheats others. One loots money. One begs, borrows and steals. And also one's expenses shoot up. You will see in this world, if one has to commit sinful activities, actually for committing sins, one has to spend a lot of money. Just like Ajamila had to spend a lot of money for the prostitute. Or if somebody doesn't go for such activities, even any other sinful activity also, one has to spend wealth first for getting the sinful activities. And after that one has to spend to the doctor. And then one has to also have a spoiled health also. And then after death one has to go to Yama's abode and suffer there also. So in this way, uncontrolled desires eventually lead to enormous sufferings, untold sufferings. But that starts from a platform of irresponsibility. If one does not take responsibility to follow the four related principles or take to the spiritual life, tattva jignasa, as his main life, then such a life of slackness degrades a person. So therefore, you will see that people here, the prachetas, they are actually people who have enjoyed material life and now they have nothing to go to any guru to ask for material well-being. Prabhupada says here. They are not going to ask, please make us millionaire or trillionaire. They are already trillionaires. They are actually ruling the whole world. But they are going for a different purpose. So you will find in Maslow's triangle, Maslow explained that there is food, then clothing, then shelter. After that one wants status. Then one wants prestige in society. If somebody has even up to the level of prestige, what is the difference between status and prestige? When you get food, clothing, shelter, after getting all these three, one looks around and thinks, what is my identity in society? What do people think about me? Then one needs some amount of self-importance. I am also influencing the society. I am also important. And people should consider me and my inputs valuable. Then you need a status. But beyond status, prestige means one is in the top rungs. One has a very unique standard and there are many people with high statuses below the person with prestige. Therefore, after one reaches that status, like unique position of prachetas, they are kings of the whole world. Such kind of position. So, in that position, Maslow said, a person comes to the summit of material civilization. Summit means, like in a mountain, the peak is a summit. So, when people come there, they find themselves lonely there. Lonely at the top. Because whatever you want, you have. You want juice, you get juice. You want a vehicle, you have a vehicle. You want to have many wives, you have many wives. You want a big bungalow, you have. You want a car. So now, after getting everything, they are supposed to be happy, but they are not happy. Now why are they not happy even after getting everything? That is the very nature of material enjoyment. The very nature of material, in the morning Japataka I was telling about Indriyaram and Atmaram. Indriyaram is a person who is trying to delight in material facilities, commodities and pleasures. The nature of material pleasure is, when you want something, you hanker for it and run after it. When you get it, you get some shanti. But that is a temporary shanti only. It's not a permanent shanti. It's a temporary peace. And then, because you are getting temporary peace, you want more peace, then you hanker for something else. Then you run after it, run after it, run after it. When you get that, again you get one more temporary shanti. Temporary peace. So you get many intermediate oasis, type of, you know, small bits and pieces of peace you get. But one's heart starts longing for a permanent shelter. For example, a bird is flying in the sky in the daytime, all over the sky searching for food here there. But the bird is not as comfortable as when he would be in his own nest. Isn't it? This is a beautiful verse in Bhagavatam. Margan tiyate mukapadma nidair chandas suparnair rishiyo vivikte yasyagamar shodha vivitsaraya. What is that verse? Padam padam titta padam prapanna. There is one verse. He says that Lord's beautiful lotus feet and the Lord's beautiful face, these two are taken into consideration here. The neophyte devotees take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord and the pure devotees are charmed by the enchanting face of the Lord. And for both the people, neophytes and pure devotees, Lord's form is the shelter. Like that it says. After wandering in all over the universes, all over the multiple millions of lifetimes, But till one gets that shelter of the Supreme Lord's lotus feet or the beautiful smiling face, he says that the jiva is never satisfied. He is always ever thirsty. How many of you experience, sometimes you take a water from a fridge, chill water. People coming on a hot sunny day, they drink half of the bottle. You've seen that? After drinking half bottle, they are not satisfied because fridge water doesn't satisfy. So, like the ocean water never satisfies. So, the more you drink, the more you are thirsty. That's the way the material pleasures are. There is a reason for it. Because in the material world, the objects are all relative and they are temporary. There is always something better than what you got. By the time you get that better object, then there is something else better. So therefore, like the animal in the forest, like what is that animal? The deer, Kasturi deer. When it gets the smell, he runs from one place to another. Searching, where is the smell coming from? Where is the smell coming from? All over the forest he runs. At last he dies, not knowing that the smell is coming from his own body. Similarly, our actual pleasure is in the soul itself. There is another example in 7th canto. Once a deer was very, very thirsty. He got lot of grass to eat in many places. But after eating grass, what do you want? You need some water to drink. But he couldn't get water. So he was thinking, grass everywhere, I have no water. But actually just below the grass, what was there? Water was there. He has to just move the grass aside and then drink the water. But poor deer, he never saw the water below. So he never drank the water and he died. So what is the meaning of this example? The grass in the top represents the material body and the water represents the soul. So because people never approach the soul pleasure, and they are caught up in the bodily pleasures and they never taste the soul's pleasure in relation to Krishna. So Indriyaram means only was eaten a lot of grass with no water, Indriyaram. Atmaram means first initially one tried eating grass and one is not satisfied, then one got the water to drink. Pure waters, then one is satisfied. So I was telling about Indriyaram Atmaram. So Aghayur Indriyarama Mogham Parthasa Jivati, Krishna says. And Atmaram is what is explained in Kamasyana Indriya Pritir and Tat Jivasya Tattva Jignyasa. So he says, Masala says that when they reach the summit or the top of material civilization, then there is some new step, he says, called a self-actualization, he calls it. Self-actualization means self-realization. Therefore, sometimes you find a rich man coming to a temple sometimes. Like one gentleman came to my office in those days and said that he's working with one of the top IT companies. And he said, my position is third in the company, he said. And below me, some 5,600 people are working, he said. So, and I said, today is a Wednesday, you have come at 11 o'clock, I asked him. He said, you know, my position is such that I can go anytime, come anytime in the company. I have my own office and I am not accountable to any man. Above me there are only two people. There is a CEO and there is deputy CEO and next to that is me, he said. And then he said, here is my wife, she has her own clinic, she's a doctor. And we both just came to see you, Prabhu. Actually, we somehow or other in our life we are not feeling happiness. It's missing. Something seriously missing. And I asked him, what do you don't have in material life? He said, I have everything. But still I am not happy. So that means even all the material goods of the world, the best of the commodities in the material world, is not able to make one happy. You can see the position of Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami, they were actually ministers of Bengal. What do you think they didn't have? They had everything. But when Sanatan met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took clumps of grass in his mouth and fell at his feet. And he said, you know, I don't even know who I am. And why am I suffering the threefold miseries in this world? And he is a big minister. They are practically ruling the whole country. And he spoke this to indicate to all the living entities that any amount of material accumulation will not make you happy. So this is a very fundamental truth in this world. Because all the objects are perishable and changeable. And all the objects are relative and they can never satisfy the soul. So one has to come to the platform of inquiring from the spiritual master. And the path of true happiness, as they are asking here, that you know, kindly enlighten us in transcendental knowledge which may act as a torchlight by which we may cross the dark nations of material existence. Actually, what happens in spiritual life, sometimes young boys come and say, I want to join the temple. They come like that. Actually, they are not exhausted with material world. They come with so many material desires. Some of them may be even irresponsible also in material life. They may think, joining temple is an easy escape way out. They may come like an escape way. And therefore, when they come, because they are seeking the absolute truth is not very sincere and not very serious. Due to that, again, their impurities in their mind, again, very soon drive them out. But here you will find they are exhausted with material life. And this is, Prabhupada says, this is the first qualification of a disciple approaching Guru. One should be materially exhausted. One should feel that material world has awarded so many types of material pleasures. Like he says in that verse, kamadinam katinakadida palita durniteshas. Durnidesha means the kama krodha the lobha have misdirected me. Nirdesha means right direction. Durnidesha means misdirection. They have misdirected me life after life and I have suffered terribly. Now I am fed up with all that. Now you tell me the right path. And that was the situation of Arjuna when he spoke that famous verse, karpanya dosho pahata svabhava, isn't it? Actually, he spoke like a learned man, five reasons, all based on dharma. And then he cried tears and said, now, my dear Krishna, I am confused about my duty. I don't know whether to fight or not fight. If I don't fight and go to forest, I have to beg. And I am not used to begging. And if I fight and kill all the warriors in the battlefield, I will not dare to live in their absence. So I really don't know which path to go. And in that purport, Prabhupada writes, even with great economic position in society, or even having a great political position, like Arjuna was having a big political position, or economically somebody is very well off, or somebody is very popular, famous in this world, they can't actually find solutions. And then he gives a couple of examples. Recently I was reading, Prabhupada says that, in this world, from, as I told you, king or a poor man, they both have to serve or they have to starve, he says. Now Gandhi, for example, he, on one hand, certain people called him father of nation. And somebody was dissatisfied with Gandhi's approach. Phew, they shot him. Now Kennedy, Dr. Kennedy, President of United States, Prabhupada says, he was one of the most popular leader of his times. But somebody was not satisfied with his policy. Phew, they shot him. So Prabhupada says, in this world, no matter how much hard one works and comes to the top rungs of society, one may be highly respectable. At the same time, one's even life may be claimed in this world. So therefore, no amount of service, no volume of service done to anybody in this world can bring one, either one to satisfaction or others to satisfaction. Like Gandhi, in 1947, when India got freedom, everybody was, throwing balloons in the air, putting up festivals, distributing sweets to each other. But Gandhi was not joining them. He was sitting in his own room. He was looking through the window, staring at the sky. Because he thought, now that India has become free from the British clutches, now, how is India going to lead further? Because now, this is more responsibility now. Earlier, you were under somebody. Now, you are independent now. When you are independent, then the responsibility is even more. How should this nation be conducted? The nation was materialistic under foreign rule. Now, the nation has to go from material platform to spiritual platform. So, Gandhi had a great desire that led them take to Charkha. Let them take to, this Prabhupada said, this four schools, Prabhupada got it from Gandhi. Prabhupada says that. This four schools, which means first, the spiritual literature distribution. And that is the first school of spiritual religion. Second school is, after the spiritual literatures are distributed, people become interested. So, like Prabhat Feri, which means Harinam Sankirtan. These are all Gandhi's original ideas. Prabhupada says in one of his writings, you will read in Transcendental Diary. So when you distribute the books and distribute the holy name, then a lot of people gather and interest is created. That interest brings about a temple. That's the second, which is temple making and deity installation. And Gandhi made in Naukhali one Radha Krishna temple in Bangladesh. And Gandhi also had a plan to make all over India many, many Radha Krishna temples and bring the Harijans to temple, the lower caste people. So that's the second this thing, yeah, school. Then you make the, and then once the temple is made, then a lot of people start coming to temple and getting connected. So thirdly, then people who come to temple and get inspired, they have to take the inspiration and make small temples in their own homes and do namahattas, namahatta type of programs. And they should lead a, they should promise that they will lead a simple life, simple living and high thinking. And then finally, there should be farm communities developed where people can wholeheartedly devote time for bhajan without getting distracted by material life. So these four schools were with Gandhi. He did it with some amount of spirituality. Like they would begin the meeting with Harikirtan, end with Harikirtan. They had the Seva Gram near Nagpur, you must have seen. But Prabhupada took it to very great height. Prabhupada added pure devotion service to that. So Gandhi was giving Varnashram and Prabhupada added pure devotion service, which is what Lord Chaitanya accepted. Lord Chaitanya accepted pure devotion service combined with Varnashrama like that. But the point is, Gandhi was giving on a material platform and his service was not recognized or rewarded. So Prabhupada says, on a material plane in this world, if you try to do even greatest good, neither will you be satisfied nor will others be satisfied. He says like that. So therefore, these three words are very, very important. Tadviddhi, pranipatena, pariprashnena. Pranipat, pariprashnena, sevaya. Three words. So His Holiness Bhakti Raksha Krishnadhar Maharaj, Prabhupada has written, our Prabhupada has written an introduction in that book. I saw it. So these three words He has explained very deeply. So I will conclude my talk with the meaning of these three, what He says. Very, very beautiful. He says, when the disciple approaches the Guru, Tadviddhi pranipatena means, one should surrender to the Guru without any reservations. So He explains what is the meaning of that. He, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he says, he used to joke that he has come to cut a return ticket. Like that he used to joke. What is the meaning of that? If somebody would go to join his mutt, but he is independent minded, so he would call him as what? Somebody who has come to cut a return ticket. Return ticket means he will see whether Guru is telling something which is satisfying me. If it is not satisfying, what he will do? He will go back. So, and Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur in lectures used to say, if you are coming to the Matta, it's a one-way ticket. That means from here, it's like Yad Gatvar Nivartante. He would say like that, that you go to Krishna and Guru, and then you surrender to the higher plane. You don't expect the higher plane to serve the lower plane. Because you are going from a mundane understanding and Guru is giving a transcendental understanding. So you serve the mundane plane. That's the meaning of the pranipat, he says. You know? And then he is saying, pariprashnena means one should, by hearing the transcendental message, one should become free from doubt, free from suspicion. And also one should hear the queries not in a mood of argumentation, but in a mood of supplication or submission. And one more thing I forgot, the first one, Tadviddhi Pranipat. And Pranipat, he says, one should not approach a guru to hear the talk in a mood of a suggestion. But he says, one should hear the words of the Guru as an instruction from the Shastra, as a revelation from the Shastra, not in the mood of a suggestion or a discussion, like that he says. And then second he says, pariprashnana, it should not be done in a mood of argumentation, but it should be heard in a mood of, without, it should be heard without doubt or suspicion. He says, and questioning should be done like that. And then he says the third one, one should serve the higher plane for one's purification and not try to think that I am increasing the fame of my guru by my activities or by my donation I have built this beautiful temple because poor guru, you know, he didn't have any money. So don't try to self-promote yourself by using guru and bringing the higher plane below your lower plane. The lower plane is the material plane. And the higher plane which guru is coming to give is a higher plane. So there was one disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, you know, was pretty rich, he had a lot of money, but he put all the money he had in building the Bagh Bazaar temple. And then Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur told him to come and live in the temple. So he also came and stayed in the temple only with his family. So he had no other property. Even the property had, he sold it also. Everything he gave. Penny to penny. He didn't want to. Sometimes we say, you know, Manasa Deho Jokichu more. Arpilutu. He actually did that. Arpilutu Apade Nandaki. He gave it all to Guru completely. Like that. And he didn't have even an iota of pride. He didn't have even a tinge of pride that I gave this temple to my guru or anything like that. So, in this way, these three definitions, when we hear, it is so heart-rending, touching to hear about this. Now we are living in this Kali Yuga, which is a postmodern age of faithlessness, where people want to be told any knowledge only in the mode of suggestion. It's a very wonderful thought for you to consider. Or people approach religion as, and people imagine themselves to be religious simply by being a vegetarian. People think that if I do some little yogasanas, I am a very religious person. So, in such a day and age, he says actually that unless the shraddha with which the disciple approaches the guru is very deep rooted, then Krishna will not reveal himself in that relationship. Actually, that relationship will be very superficial. You know, neither will the guru be able to open his heart and reveal the truths, nor has the disciple sufficiently surrendered in this spirit for receiving the truth. So here you can see the prachetas. They are actually approaching, as Prabhupada says here, everyone should approach a saintly person in order to be enlightened in this connection. One should not bother a saintly person to get blessings for material enjoyment. So, when Devahuti approached Kardama and Devahuti approached her son Kapila, it is totally different. You will see that. Because when she approached Kardama, she was not materially exhausted. In fact, she served him very faithfully for long years, but Kardama detected that she has, she is coming from a princely family, royal family. She has served me faithfully because she had, you know, she is trained well by her mother, and then she served me. But then he asked her, "Oh Devi, what is your desire? How can I please you?" She said, "You promised me you will give me children. You have not given me." So he understood that in her emaciated state, and in my state, we won't be able to beget children. So to beget children, you need to create a certain ambience. So he created the aerial mansion. He got her bathed with 100 beautiful servant maids. They bathed her in a lake with all scented oils and everything. And her body became very beautiful, very good looking. And they decorated her and dressed her like a royal queen. And then when Kardama boarded the plane along with Devahuti, he looked like a royal Indra. And he moved to all the pleasure valleys all over the world, took her to various places. And after all that, he gave her 9 girls, children, and then one boy, who is Lord Kapila. And after all this was done, one verse was mentions there that Lord Kardama, Kardama was undisturbed by all these things. He did it in order to satisfy her, because she is a princess coming from a royal family, and she may not be able to live a very simple life. But then the beauty of this is, this whole thing is what? When she returned back, she loudly cried, I am solidly cheated, my Lord. I got a very great devotee, spiritual husband like you, but I didn't take full advantage of you. Rather than take spiritual advantage of my great exalted husband, I took material advantage of my husband. Like that she said. This is very instructive for all disciples. And we can go and stand next to Guru and click a photo, and we can make it a very prominent photo by sending on Facebook to everybody. Isn't it? So we can use Guru's presence for increasing our popularity and fame. On the other hand, that is not what Guru is meant for. So she said that I am using you for my material advantage, not for like one boy, Donovan, came to meet Prabhupada along with his girlfriend. So Donovan wanted Prabhupada to glorify him in the presence of his girlfriend. But Prabhupada understood, this fellow wants to use me. He doesn't want to take knowledge from me, nor does he want to make his girlfriend into a devotee. Basically, he wants to tell his girlfriend that I have a touch with a sadhu, that means I am a good person. Therefore, you can put trust in me and do what I tell you. That's what he wanted. Prabhupada immediately sensed. He spoke in such a way that, you know, the girlfriend ran away. Yeah. So, you will read in Leelamrita, you will read. Prabhupada was not ready to be exploited by somebody like that. So, therefore, she said, I have solidly been cheated by my own material desires. And then, Kardamuni said, okay, but now I have to leave now. It's high time. It's 50 years. He said, Panchasha Vardvam, Vanam Vrajet. So she cried, oh master, if you leave me and go, then who will give me knowledge? He told her, oh lady, chaste lady, don't worry. The Supreme Lord has become your son, Kapila. Now he will instruct you. And I have to proceed for my sannyas order. I am going. So he went ahead. But now here what happened to her? Now she is materially exhausted now. Earlier she was not, but now she is exhausted. Does she want to go in a aerial mansion to some more pleasure valleys? Now no more desires. She is exhausted now. Then she asked many spiritual queries to Kapila. Nirvinna nitaram bhuman asad indriya tarshanat yena sambhavyamanena prapannandam tamah prabho tasyatvam tamasondasya dushparasya adyaparagham satchakshur janmanamante labdham me tudanugrahat sabratya samsara taro kutharam. Amazing question she asked. She said, my dear Lord, you are like an axe to cut the upside down tree of the material existence. You are like the satchakshu or the transcendental eye by which I can see the world with shastra chakshu. And she says, you are like a dushparasyadya paragam. Paragam means you are like a boat to take me from the material world to the spiritual world. Now please accept me as your disciple. And he is actually a son. How difficult do you think it will be for an elderly mother to accept her son as a guru? But she didn't mind. She thought, Lord has come as my son. Let him become my guru. So she surrendered. And then she made very serious questions. One of the first questions she asked, akartukkar mabandhoyam purushasya yadashrayah guneshu satsu prakrite kaivalyam teshu atakkatam. She is asking that we are all in this world covered with the blanket of the material body, and this material bodily blanket has got material senses which are impure. So we have, the impure senses are always agitating and wanting this, wanting that, more and more and more. And she said, at the same time, we are beaten up by Maya. Imagine somebody puts a blanket on you and beats you. Pat, pat, pat. You don't even know who is beating also. She said, Guneshu Satsu Prakriti. She said, the gunas are very strongly acting in this world. But Jiva is Akartu. Akartu means he is sitting inside the body. Why he is Akartu? Because Prakriti Kremanani. The three modes are acting. And I am sitting inside the body like Akartu. And a blanket of material body is put over me, and I am being beaten by Maya. Now what is my hope to come out of this body? Because on my own, I am not able to see the truth and I can't come out. There Prabhupada writes in the purport. This verse indicates to surrender to Krishna. Surrender to Guru and surrender to Krishna. So a disciple should be exhausted materially while approaching the Guru. And says the Guru, please lead kindly light, lead kindly light. Lead me on the, you catch me by my hand, I am a blind man. You catch my hand and you lead me on the path back to Godhead. Order me and use me, engage me in your service. And let me engage all my faculties, my body, my mind, my words, in your instructions. And I have firm faith that you will take me to the through the path of light to the spiritual world and connect me to Krishna. Like we say, no, Yahara Prasade Bhai, Ye Baba Tariya Jai, Krishna Prapti Hoy, Yaha Hoite. So, one of the days in Yatra, I got to travel on a boat with my spiritual master with three other devotees. The four of us were sitting. So my spiritual master was sitting. So he was catching one of those, this thing, what do you call that? Oar. The boatman was doing oar like this. Maharaj was also catching one. He was doing like this. So immediately these words came to my mind at that time. Which one? Yahara Prasade Bhai, Ye Bhava Tariya Jai, Krishna Prapti, Hoy Yaha Hoite. So Prabhupada and Guru are like our boatman in our human bodily boat. And they're helping us to cross over this material world and go to spiritual world. And we should not desire anything other than that. Arana Kvariha Mane Asha. Hare Krishna. Now let me take questions for 5 minutes. Yes, Prabhu, please give the... Again, loudly.
This Devavati, because you told she had a material, kind of material desire, she went in aerial mansion. So the nature of material desire is they grow, but she got tired afterwards. So is it because, you know, she's her devotee husband, so gradually her material desire subsided? And
that is actually the acid test of anybody. See, spiritual life does not deny material desires. The material desires are regulated in spiritual life. Even for grihasthas also, if a grihastha wants to, if a man wants to marry a wife, have children, and grow in Krishna consciousness. Many times the grihastha man goes to Guru to take blessings for begetting the next child. You know. Now you imagine he has 3 or 4 children. He has a job. And he is expanding the family. But he is doing everything under the order of Guru. Like, you know, he is serving in the temple. He is entering, his wife is serving, children are serving. Gradually he will get materially exhausted. Because he is aligned with Guru's instructions. And he is regulating his senses, and also his desire in rendering service to Guru and following the regulated path is purification of heart and awakening love for God. So Prabhupada says in 11th canto, one of the purports, that the test is what? Like somebody is, some non-devotee is engaging in sense gratification, and a devotee under the order of Guru is engaging in sense gratification. What is the difference? This person will gradually get mentally exhausted and spiritually awakened. Whereas a common man who is going on engaging in sense gratification, he will be like the deer I told you, who is running in the forest, not able to find where the smell is. He will always keep running. But if some devotee disciple is serving the Guru, still his desires for sense gratification are going on increasing, then what is the meaning? His material desires are not diminishing, rather they are going on increasing, and he is becoming more and more impure, and instead of going in upward direction, he is going in a downward direction. There are many possibilities. One of the first possibilities, he is not following the Guru. Or he is not taking trouble to hear the lectures of the Guru and know his instructions. He is not following the instructions of the Guru. Or he does not have respect for Guru or respect for Guru's knowledge. He thinks probably Guru is not so well informed like me. Like that he thinks. So he thinks himself to be more informed. Or he is diverting to some mundane scholarship, or becoming a Sanskrit pundit, or, you know, becoming a scholar with multiple knowledge of various books and everything. Bahu Shastra, Bahu Vakya, Chitta Brahma, Hoy. No? So it's happening to him like that. He's becoming simply a superficial, empty scholar without taking the instructions of Guru to his heart and applying them in his life. Or he is not making effort to apply. Like, you know, it's like undigested food. He You know, he has heard the lecture, but he has not made an effort to apply it. Correct? One doesn't apply, then one doesn't make progress. The other day I was telling, you know, what is that? Shunapuccham iva anartham, jnanam dharma varjanam. This is one of Subhashitam. It says, Shunapuccham means dog's tail, iva anartham. A person who is a great scholar has one anartha. What is it? He has jnanam, but dharma varjanam. He does not apply that knowledge. He knows the knowledge, but he does not apply. It's like shunapuccham. It's like a dog's tail. Dog's tail can never be straightened. Then the knowledge can never actually help him, because the knowledge becomes useless for him, because he is not applying it. So these are all several reasons why a person. But there is one verse you will read, Raga Dvesha Vimukta Istu, that type of verse in the 11th canto. What he says is, while fulfilling the needs of the senses, one should not aggravate the senses. He says, for example, I am hungry. I have to eat some prasad so that belly will have satisfaction and body will have energy to render seva. But I should not agitate the tongue in such a way that I will want to eat more and more of the same item, or I will want to eat more and more finer and opulent items. That is the way the tongue has to be fed. Same with sex life. If a man and woman are married, they should unite in such a way that they beget children and raise them in Krishna consciousness and then become busily engaged in Krishna conscious activities, rather than be attached to sex life even after they become 50, 60, 70, 80. In Ajamila, we got a son. At the age of 80, he got a son. So the boy, when he was 88, the boy was only 8 years old. So that means he is aggravating his senses even at the age of 80. Correct, no? So, if any disciple faithfully follows the rules and regulations given by the Guru, without aggravating the senses, he is feeding the senses in a regulated way, while following the instruction of the Guru to chant Hare Krishna and render service. Then over a period of time, two things happen. He gets purified of the contaminations, on one hand, and then he comes to a point where he feels, now I am exhausted with sense gratification, and now enough is enough now. And he also develops a great fondness and hankering for attaining Krishna. That is a spiritual positive result. Not only he is negating sense gratification, he is also developing a yearning for attaining Krishna. Correct, no? Is that clear?
Yeah. In the specific case of Devati, initially she exhibited very great renunciation in terms of, like, she gave up
serving
her
Guru.
Bodily needs also, and she served.
Then actually, even when she was in the palace, she was very charmed by Kardama Muni's personality for various reasons. She thought he's an effulgent sage, he's a great tapasvi, and he's a very exalted person. He's a man of very high character, and he's also Brahma's son. And he's a devotee of the Supreme Lord Vishnu, isn't it? So she considered all these important factors, and she loved him very dearly, but she wouldn't marry him unless her parents permit her. So she revealed her heart, then parents took her to forest, and then that fellow Kardama Muni put a condition that, you know, he had an exit plan at the time of entry. What was his plan? Once I give a son, I will take sannyas and go away. And she was ready for it. So there was certainly some amount of material attachment in her heart for him, which is not wrong for a woman to have an attraction, attachment to the husband, to serve him. Therefore, she was ready to forego the royal comforts for serving him. But that turned out to be an advantage, because she was serving an exalted soul. You see, such an exalted personality. Saiyeva sadhu shukruto
mokshadvaham
pavrata. You develop affection for an exalted person and you serve him. And the person has to be an exalted person, and you should have attachment to him. These two things, when they come together, powerful. So he told her that you will attain all the spiritual excellences that I have received, because you have served me very faithfully. So there Prabhupada writes, a guru may be very austere, very advanced in knowledge, you know, maybe a great lover of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his disciple may be weak-minded disciple. He may not be very exalted. He may be struggling with his mind and senses. But if that disciple faithfully serves the guru, When Guru becomes pleased with the disciple, he can elevate the disciple from the lower plane to a higher plane very easily. So that is a very yeme dharma nirataha tapasas samadhi. That's the verse. Yeme dharma nirataha tapasas samadhi. Very beautiful verse. That verse says about the graces of the Lord. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, you just put the word graces of the Lord, immediately you will get the purport. Very, very nice. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much for this Devahuti's condition you told, and how that hunger is so very important. So, and how the relationship of intimacy between the two people, because Krishna will reveal in that relationship. So my question is, Prabhu, that Bruyus Nigdasya Shishyasya Gurava Guhyam Apyuta. So that's what I think you wanted to mention. So my question is, Prabhu, that there is fear in investing in relationship because of the things happening, because that's what is the core principle in Bhagavatam, and that's what you explained. So how do we get rid of this fear to invest in relationship because of seeing so many things happening in this world? Now there is a fear for a devotee to invest fully his heart in that relationship, which you were mentioning, no? Pranipat, pranipashta, seva. There is some, you know, kind of reservation because of, not because of any faults, but the situations around.
You see, for example, the Ritviks, group of people, they saw a few gurus falling. So they lost complete trust in the guru system itself. And they felt that if a few can fall, then anybody can fall. Correct, no? So better not put any trust in anybody. But there is one infallible person who is a Prabhupada. And Prabhupada has already gone back to Godhead. There is no possibility of anything else happening. He has gone back to Godhead. He was walking amongst us in this world. For 12 years, the Westerners could see him in 1965 to 77. And even before 65, he was a very, very devoted personality. So now he didn't fall away from the path. He has maintained purity. So let us follow him. That was our idea. But later on, other current acharyas have asked the question, if you say Prabhupada was a pure devotee, does he not have the ability to produce at least one pure devotee? Is he such a personality that besides him, nobody else can be pure devotees? There can be more pure devotees he can produce. In fact, your guru is like a chintamani, you know, who produces not just, he doesn't touch things and make them gold. He is such a chintamani, he produces many chintamanis. And those chintamanis produce many more chintamanis, like that. So, for me, if I have observed your guru, say for 10, 20, 30, 40 years, and many of some of the gurus have spent 50 years, what more do you want them to prove? You know, some of them actually came in 1966. Now, what is the year now? 2020 now. How many years? 54 years. Correct, no? 54 years they have chosen. And somebody says, yes, Prabhuji, my Guruji is 86 years old. Still, I am hoping he will not fall down. Therefore, I have doubt, somebody says. So, therefore, we can understand, samshayatma vinashyati, Krishna says. If you are going to doubt a person so much, then you are actually not fit for spiritual life. Spiritual life definitely requires leap of faith. That's one thing. And second thing, the Mahabharata has one verse which says, Guraur Avaliptasya, at the beginning of the verse. It says that one should repose full faith in Guru and close your eyes and follow him very faithfully. But if one finds the Guru has given up his chanting, he has become a Mayavadi, and he has become misled by a woman, and he has degraded, then what steps should be taken? That is explained in that. It says that first of all, one should stop following him and seek another association who is rightly situated. And one should follow a person who is rightly situated, number one. Number two, you should actually feel sympathy for the person who has fallen away. One should feel actually that, you know, this person has done so much good for the world. He is after all a Vaishnava, and Krishna will surely bring him back to the path. But right now, he is like an impaired instrument, like an instrument which is damaged. A damaged instrument which is not able to do its job. But later on, Krishna will repair this instrument and use it in his service again. but I am not able to take advantage from this person now. Let me take shelter of another person. At the same time, pray for the supreme welfare of this person. See, the shastras are so amazing. So then he should take shelter of another rightly situated person and he should follow. But till this person is rightly situated, he should repose his full faith in him. And he can watch. Somebody may say, but if I repose full faith in him, I may blindly become attached to him. I may become sentimentally attached to him. Even when he falls down also, I will go with the fallen person. Somebody may say, that kind of blind following is not appreciated anywhere. Prabhupada says, absurd inquiry and blind following, both are condemned. But if some desirable things, you know, my superior, you see, I don't have to always accept what he says. In certain things he says, I will accept, and certain things I don't accept. So, this kind of thought you have about the special master, guru, then it becomes challenging. Like, for example, he tells you that you should do this and you should not do this. He has clearly told you. Actually, you like to do the other one, but he is telling you this is what is good for you. Then one should do it even though one doesn't like it. You understand what I am saying? For example, one disciple was, selling vegetarian food in the hostels, college hostel. His family members told, hey, you are just making, monthly 20,000, 30,000 rupees. Start non-veg, they told him. When he started non-veg, he was making 2-3 lakhs per month. Otherwise, 20,000, 30,000. But then later on, when he came to ISKCON, he became attracted to Vaishnavas, devotees, and then he wanted to take Diksha. And somehow he could give up the non-veg, and then he increased the vegetarian selling to 50, 60,000 rupees. And that was enough for him, more than enough for him. But then after initiation, his relatives, friends are pushing him. You should again go for non-veg because you can make 2-3 lakhs. Your family has more requirement of money and everything. Now what should he do now? You should put his foot down and firmly say that, I am initiated now. Say, I have Kantimala, I have bead bag, and my guru has sheltered me now. I cannot earn more than 30-40,000, maximum 60,000 per month. But 3 lakh and all I cannot bring. And if you guys are not accepting, I am leaving home. And I will have another home separately. He didn't have the guts. He was weak-minded. Why weak-minded? He also wants money for his sense gratification. So he is hiding from the guru and going ahead with doing something of his own. Which means, guru invited him to come to the higher plane. Now again he went back to lower plane. You understand, no? So here, this kind of example can be given. So one should not revert back to one's sinful life again by disregarding the guru's instructions. So if one is putting guru under electron microscope and start evaluating him, which is what postmodern age tendency is very much. Then you think he is like a friend only for you. He is more or less like a friend. He is not in a higher position than you. You don't count that he is more knowledgeable than me and he is more realized than me. Krishna is directly giving him sakshatkar. Krishna is giving him realization. He is empowered. I can follow him. He can escort me. That type of faith has not yet awakened. Correct, no? Actually, we may have a tendency to ask questions, but ultimately at the end of asking all questions, how many times Arjuna asked? He said, Yameshrene vakyena buddhim mohaya sivame. Tadekam vadanishchitya yenashreyoham apniyam. He says, no? Tell me one thing, Krishna. How many times in third chapter he's saying, fifth chapter he's saying, you can ask questions, but finally what he said? Karishye vachanam tava. Now I will follow you. I have asked enough questions now, and I have no other alternative. I will follow only you. Followed. Grantharashimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, jai.